This morning's first scripture lesson is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. You may find it and follow along in your pew Bible on page 186 of the Hebrew Testament. Listen for the word of the Lord. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We finish our series on the Sermon on the Mount today. The passage we're going to be reading out of chapter 7 is essentially Jesus' sort of farewell words, wrapping up his sermon kind of words. And so we encourage you to sort of listen to what Jesus, what advice or words he's leaving the people with as he concludes this portion of his ministry. We are in chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you shall know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it was founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The word of the Lord. We stopped and we pulled our canoes out of the water. Two of my brothers and I and several friends were canoeing down the Guadalupe River in Texas. And we pulled our canoes out because we had come to a series of rapids. And these rapids sort of had this S curve to them. And we decided rather than just plunging right in, we better make a plan. And we better make a plan because at the curve of the S was this huge cypress tree. Any of you who've ever been to the hill country in Texas, you've seen these monstrous cypress trees that suck the water out of the river and grow to immense proportions. This one was probably 10 to 12 feet in diameter. And we knew clearly that if we weren't careful, we would allow the current to take us right into that tree and pin us against the tree, and we were in fiberglass canoes, and we had seen canoes snapped in half. So we made this careful plan. We spotted it out that what we needed to do was to stay right in the middle of the river. It looked like there was a clean path through it. So my older brother David and his friend, they took off first. My younger brother Richard and I in another canoe, we were second, and the other canoes followed. So we're headed down the river, and we just watch David's canoe kind of begin to move slowly but surely out of the center and toward the right-hand side of the river. And I kept thinking, this isn't what we planned. And so my younger brother Richard and I, we kept ours really pretty much in the middle as we were pounding through these rapids, and David and his friends just kept moving, and bam, they hit the tree. And it just pinned them against the tree, and we sailed right on by. And I kept thinking to myself, that wasn't what we'd planned. And so finally, later in the day, when all of us, we sort of ported our canoes in, and the people came to pick us up, to take us back to the camp, David and his friend finally showed up, their canoe a little worse for the wear. And I said, David, I thought we'd planned to stay in the middle of the river. It's not something you say to your older brother. I don't remember his exact reply, but it was not real brotherly. Okay, to me, that has come to be one of those great metaphors of life. We make all of these plans, and then the currents of culture or family or corporate life just sweep us away. So you go and you get your MBA. And when you're getting your MBA, you learn all of these great management techniques, all of these techniques that are going to make the world better and make your company and corporation better. And you go and you get this job, and suddenly the currents of the corporate life just take you right into that tree. All of your best laid plans, all of those great things you learned, they just get swept away. Or you're a teacher. How many of you have ever been a teacher? Yeah, look, okay. So you go to school to learn to be a teacher, right? And they teach you all these wonderful techniques and tricks that you're supposed to use in the classroom. And you do your student teaching. And you know exactly what you're supposed to do. And then you get one of those classes. My mother used to talk about those classes. And all of your wonderful learning just gets swept away. Or you become parents. And you decide that you are going to be the world's greatest parent. And then your daughter turns 13. And you've really been doing well. And suddenly the eyes roll. And she goes,
And everything you thought you knew about parenting is just gone. It is just out the window, and you just react. I mean, it really is that our lives are not lived in some kind of vacuum. They are lived in the midst of these streams, as I said, of family dynamics and of culture and of corporate culture, and they move us in directions we never think we could go. And that idea is really at the heart of both of our passages this morning. And here's how. The first passage is Moses giving his farewell address to the people of God. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy, the entire book, is Moses' farewell sermon to the people. They've spent 40 years in the wilderness. They have now come to the edge of the promised land, and they are about to step over the edge into this new place. And Moses believes he needs to sort of recap everything that he's taught them. But the reason he's recapping it is these people are going into a land not just flowing with milk and honey. They're going into a land whose currents of culture can sweep them away. A land with different gods and goddesses. A land with different traditions. A land where people sacrifice their own children. This is a place where it would be easy for the people of God to just get swept away, swept up into these other cultures. And what's interesting about this is that all of the people that Moses is addressing, or almost all, were not those whiny, complaining Israelites who came out of Egypt and all they could do is gripe about too much of this and not enough of that and we want to go back home. These were people who had spent an entire generation learning the law, knowing the law, knowing what it was that God wanted of them. And so you would think that Moses wouldn't have to say anything, but Moses gets it. He knows that the cultures of the currents of Canaanite society have this power, and unless the people make a daily choice, they're going to get swept away. Jesus is making his farewell address at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And for those of you who sort of haven't been here through some of these sermons, the Sermon on the Mount is, for Matthew, the equivalent of Moses receiving the law from God and then Moses giving the law to the people. The guidance and direction of God to the people. And just as Moses in Deuteronomy sort of wraps everything up, what Jesus is doing in the passage this morning is wrapping it all up. This is the equivalent of what we read in Deuteronomy, is what Jesus is doing. And he says the same essential thing. He says what matters is not what you ultimately believe. What matters here is what you do. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. Everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and acts on them will be like the man who built his house on rock. In another place in the scriptures, Jesus' family comes to get him because they think he's sort of lost his mind. And people say, Jesus, look, here are all these people. They're your family and they want you to come home. And he says, who are my family? Those who know the will of God and do it. And do it. What Jesus is saying is that the people need to remember what he taught them in the Sermon on the Mount about forgiving one another, about having one's piety be private, knowing that God is your only audience, about not being anxious about tomorrow. He says, these are the things that we are called to do, and if you don't do them, The culture into which you were going, this Roman culture, this Judaic Roman culture, will literally sweep you away right up into the tree. Now, I realize that for many people, these words of Jesus are some of the most difficult to hear. How many of you, when you heard me reading these, kind of went, ooh, ooh? How many of you? Yeah, right? People will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, look at all that I did for you. I did all these great miraculous things. And Jesus will go, don't know you. Don't know who you are. Who are those who get into the kingdom of God? It's those who do the will of God. This all seems to be about doing and not believing. And we are those who believe that one is saved by grace through faith. That it's all about the grace of God. That Jesus is about the grace of God. And here we have Jesus sort of being this kind of un-Jesus guy who wants to talk about obedience and law and doing things and not about just believing in graciousness. In fact, after I've read this passage in the past, people have come to me and said, but it's all about being saved by grace. So let me sort of lay this out. This passage is not about salvation. This passage is about the blessed life. Paul makes it clear, salvation is by grace through faith. It is all about the grace of God. This, however, is about the blessed life. Because what God wants for each and every one of us is what the Old Testament talks about as life, the fullness of life, this shalom, this peace, this life where there is love and grace and forgiveness and compassion and justice. It is about this community that God wants to build. That's at the heart of God's law. That's at the heart of Torah. That if you listen to, Moses says, and you're obedient to Torah, your life will be great. Because everyone will share with everyone else. Everyone will have enough. Everyone will be forgiven by God. You'll be a kind of community you'll want to be a part of. And so when Moses says, choose life, that's what he's talking about. This isn't some hard nose, you better obey the commandments. This is you obey the commandments so you can have life. So you can have the fullest life one can ever imagine. And Jesus is saying the same thing. He says, if you are willing to choose to do what I've taught you, you will find life and life abundant. You will be a community of love and grace and forgiveness and compassion and justice and care. You'll be the kind of community God wants you to be a part of. This is what Jesus is saying, that if you do these things, life will be rich, full and alive. Now I realize, in some ways, that's sort of one of those, duh, John. We know we're supposed to do what Jesus wants us to do. But the problem is, we forget. We step out of these doors, and we step into the currents of the cultures in which we live. And there are multiple currents that can sweep us away and sweep us off the path and take us right into that tree. And so when Jesus speaks these words, he wants people to remember and choose, to daily choose, to remember to do what Christ calls us to do. That's the message Jesus is putting across. The same one Moses did. Choose life. Not just once, or twice, but every day. Choose life, the abundant life, the blessed life that comes by doing what we've learned. And so the challenge I want to lay before you this week is this. To ask yourself every morning as you get up and every evening as you go to bed, how am I choosing life? How am I choosing to do what Christ has taught me to do? How am I choosing to do what Jesus Christ has taught me to do? Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you have laid before us what it takes to discover life. Help us to take hold of those things on this day and never, ever let them go. In Christ's name, amen.